For those of you who haven't seen me before, there might be one or two, I guess. My name is Sonia. I'm a pioneer minister and I just live around the corner, really, not far away. It's nice to see everybody today. So, our Mark reading was a bit weird today. It sounded like a lovely reading, but it's one of those readings they give you in the lectionary where they take a couple of verses, then they skip a big bit in the middle, and then they take another couple of verses at the end, and they sort of smush them together. And whenever they give us those readings, it always makes me wonder, what have they missed out? Why aren't we allowed to read that bit in the middle? Maybe it's a bit rebellious of me, I guess, to think, oh, what's that bit that's missing in the middle? So let me just give you an idea of where the Mark reading came from. So the beginning of the book of Mark is filled with evidence and parables. It's all about who Jesus is and the proof of that. In chapter 6, Jesus sends out the disciples in pairs, telling them to shake the dust off their feet of anywhere they're not welcomed. John the Baptist is beheaded, and our two readings from Mark straddle either side of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and then him walking on water to the boat where the disciples were. Okay? But these two little passages, as you heard, focus on Jesus' teaching and healing ministry, which is why they've been put together. So, let's imagine for a minute those disciples. They're all gathered around Jesus, all excitedly trying to tell him what's been happening while they've been gone. This is the first time they've gone out by themselves. Can you remember, I don't know if some of you have got maybe more than one child coming up to you, Mum, you'll never guess what. You'll never guess what happened. Do you know that feeling when you're trying to tell someone desperately happened? Well, the thing is, Jesus has got all the 12 disciples doing that, and they've kind of got some groupies around them. They've also got other people around them who are who have followed them from where they've been and have followed them back, who are beginning to recognize that they're part of Jesus's bunch. You see what I mean? So they're gaining a little bit of popularity at this point too. It must have been really noisy and quite chaotic as everybody arrives back and all these random people around with them. They're all trying to make him hear and listen to them, all joining in with each other's tales. There's just so much going on. And Jesus says, come with me by yourselves and get some rest. Have a breather. It looks like they didn't actually get the kind of rest they needed. The crowd realised where they were going, and whilst they probably had some time to themselves on the boat, once they got off the boat, they had more work to do at the other side. The thing is, the disciples weren't doing a one-off mission weekend. Remember, like when you all had the Archbishop come to visit? There was lots to do, lots to prepare, lots going on the day, lots of clearing up and organising afterwards. But you knew, if you had quite a pile of work to do and quite a list for this weekend, you knew it'd be over soon, didn't you? You knew you just had to hang on and keep going until that day came, and then it was done, and then you could relax. But they were doing something that was going to be part of their everyday lives. Their everyday lives were about travelling and speaking and praying with people. So Jesus was teaching them a key thing right at the beginning, that rest was important amongst all the noise and excitement and all the other people that were around. Does anybody remember when Lidl and Aldi first opened? I don't know what year it was. I haven't Googled it. I think Aldi was probably more of a culprit of this to me than Lidl. I'm not sure. But the big surprise for us was what? When we went to Lidl and Aldi to shop, what was the big surprise about Lidl and Aldi? Sorry? You had to have your own bags, yeah. What else? Something about the bags and the till, something at the other end. What else was there? Cheaper was good. Cheaper was very good. Very few staff. Yeah, literally probably people at the tills and that was it, really, wasn't it? So for me, a big surprise was the speed at which they shunted the stuff off the till into your bag. Well, not even into your bag, actually, just at you, generally, yeah? It was fast, wasn't it? It was something that caught me by surprise. And back in the day, I had a four-wheeled shopping trolley that I would push. And sometimes, when my daughter Alia was little, I used to put her in it. And you know, when she'd been sick of walking, I'd pop her in the trolley. But so I'd put the trolley at the end of the till so that it could just all end up in there and grab the eggs quick, because everything else was just going to get flung in there. But now, I don't think it seems so fast, does it? You think they've slowed down? Oh, possibly. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? If they've listened to all the objections to everybody, yeah.
It's a very, very long way.
Yeah.
Now, in our new one, Eastern Avenue, they've changed it to basket only. And then,
yeah.
And so, if you've got a basket and a bit, you have to get a queue with people who have got a great big trouble.
No, that's true. So splitting it up may have helped. Yeah?
I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay. For me, I wonder if we've got used to the speed, and what we've done is we've just speeded up ourselves because we're prepared. We're ready for all this stuff to come flying at us, and we know what speed it's going to come. So we are faster too. Might have been a combo. Who knows? It might have been. I certainly wonder if they were told, for crying out loud, watch out for eggs and bread. Do you know what I mean? I certainly do wonder that, actually, Ruth. I really do. If they've been told to watch out, because I used to have to grab certain things and then just let the whole lot go. But I wonder if we ourselves also get used to a pace like that. So forget the shopping for a moment. When we get more stuff to do, what do? We just kind of speed up a bit, don't we? We get faster. I used to be a waitress. More customers in, you just walk faster. You just go faster around the tables. You talk faster at people while you're trying to write it all down. Now the cook downstairs can't read your writing because you've gone a bit too fast, you know? But you just get faster and faster and faster, don't you? I think we do. Especially when we've got emergencies or crises or anything like that happens, stuff arrives all of a sudden. And I think us women might be very good at this. I can't talk from a man point of view, nothing against the gentleman. But we're quite good at dealing with emergencies.
Yes.
We're quite good at sudden, unexpected, don't worry, I'll do that, I'll shove that, I'll put that under there and I'll stick that there and I'll do that there. Yeah? So we just do it super fast, don't we? We adapt ourselves. Jesus, again, as usual, does the opposite. No, it's all a bit nuts here, so let's go somewhere else. Isn't it? You couldn't go somewhere else at the end of the Lidl's till, could you? I wonder what would happen. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? So, last month I had some time off work to get some rest. Literally, that's what it was for. As you know, I have long COVID, so, you know, I have a lot of fatigue. And during my time off, I got to observe lots of different kinds of rest, shall we say. Well, I experienced different kinds of rest. During the first 2 weeks of my time off, one of my children was also with me, which meant that whilst I had some physical rest, I was still looking after them. I was still checking they took the tablets, making sure they had a drink, making sure they were doing all the things they needed to do. Do you see what I mean? So still doing the mum stuff, but watching a lot of telly. So I was having, I think, at that point, quite a physical rest. And then by the time they'd gone back to school, I began to do a bit of pottering around indoors. Got my sewing machine out, did some sewing, liked that, that was nice, that's one of my hobbies. Reorganised a few things at home that needed organising, which was nice. I had plenty of time and I could just do a little bit each day. It was lovely. And so when I'd finished my time off, I felt rested. I felt that I'd had some, been able to sort of enjoy myself a little bit too. Had a coffee with a friend and things like that. And I felt ready to come back to work. But one of the things I hadn't managed to do during that time was have a longer bit of God time. Was spend a day or so with God, listening to him, hanging out with him, praying a lot. And so now I need to organise a retreat. That's my next thing, is I need to organise a retreat and have a different kind of rest. The way I would describe it is having the kind of rest that rubs your soul better. Would that make sense? The kind of rest that rubs your soul better. That's different, isn't it? It's different than just sitting with your feet up. It's kind of different. So Jesus wanted the disciples not just to have a physical rest, but also to be spiritually nourished. He said, come with me and spend some time with me. Now, we don't all have to go to an old convent or whatever else to go and have a retreat. You can have a retreat in the local park if you wanted. You just have to take some time on purpose to spend time with God. Maybe pick a chapter of the Bible you want to look at. Pray before you start and have some quiet time with him. But it does need to be away from the usual, the busyness and all the other stuff that we have, which is often why people go away, I guess. But you can do one in an afternoon, as I said, in the local park or something, out of the house, away from the housework, or off work, and away from all the busyness that comes with work, maybe leaving your mobile phone at home. We all need that little bit of a breather where we step away from the usual. But importantly, we need a breather with God with us. When they arrived at the other side of the water and Jesus saw the crowds, he described them as sheep without a shepherd. What do you think made him say that when he looked at these people? Why would he have thought that they were sheep without a shepherd? Obviously, he sees things that might not be in the physical, shall we say. So what might he have seen about these people that made him say they were sheep without a shepherd?
They looked lost.
They looked lost, maybe, yeah. Something about them looked lost, didn't it? So what would the shepherd have done?
Rounded them up.
Rounded them up. Rounded them up. Maybe. Any other thoughts?
Maybe they were doing their own thing, talking about their own business. And
oh, yeah. So they weren't really united then, maybe. You say about them doing their own thing. Not focused. Yeah, not focused.
They didn't have a leader.
They didn't have a leader. Yeah, or a guide. I like that. Bewildered, that's good. That's good. He must have seen need, mustn't he? He must have seen, I mean, let's face it, he probably looks at a person and knows exactly what they need anyway. You know, being God and all that. He must have seen all the needs. He must have seen that they needed teaching and things like that. Not in a negative way, I don't think. Sorry? Yeah. And actually, I think in his heart, it says he had compassion on them. Yeah, that he wanted to lead them as well. Maybe he saw there were things they needed to learn or that they needed to hear from him. Life is very busy, isn't it? How many times have you said to someone, how are you? And their reply is busy. It's either fine or busy, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're just the two. Now, I wonder why they say busy. Sometimes I wonder if that's, to me, it makes me think, oh, they need me to go away because they've got a lot to do. They need me to shut up and stop asking them these questions because they've got a lot on. Do you know what I mean? I must leave them to get on with it. Or maybe it's actually that, oh, I'm really busy, I need a cuppa, I need a breather, I need a rest. When we're very busy sometimes, or maybe even sometimes when we're not very well, our usual routines can fly out the window, can't they? If we usually get up and pray in the morning or something like that, that might go out the window because maybe we've spent half the day in bed, you know? All the things we usually do can often go out the window. We might put off things till later. Or maybe sometimes we could feel that we're not hearing God as we usually do. Maybe if we're feeling a bit low or a bit lonely or something like that. The thing is, he knows us. And just as Jesus did then, he does now. He has compassion on us. He can see what we're up to. He knows our struggles. But if we don't go and sit with him, come away from everything and have a bit of rest, even if we've got nothing to say to him, how can our circumstances change for the better? They can't, can they? Unless it's under our own strength, of course, because often when we get busy, we start trying to fix everything by ourselves. At the end of today's passage, we hear that sick people were brought to Jesus on mats, wherever they went, and whoever touched the edges of his cloak were healed. I love this. I really, really like this. The line about the edges of Jesus' cloak is quite significant. Jesus' own clothes were never really talked about in detail, apart from this cloak. There's several times in the Bible. Anybody remember the woman with the issue of bleeding where she touched the edge of his cloak and she was healed and he felt it, didn't he? Who touched me? Who touched the edge of my cloak? The fringes or the edges of a cloak were often compared with the fringes or edges of a Jewish prayer shawl. I don't know if you've ever seen one. A stripy shawl nowadays that's used that people would put over their heads when they pray. And it has scriptural verses on the corners of it and across the top of it. And it also has strings tied to it, specific strings at the four corners of it. And those strings are to remind Jewish people of God's law. And what they talk about is when they touch the fringes, they find healing. So people often wonder, because of this and other passages, did Jesus wear one? Do you know, he was a Jew. Did he ever even wear one himself? With the fringe around the edge that would remind people of God's promises to him. And then when people went there and touched it, that they were healed. When the woman with bleeding touched the cloak, if that's a prayer cloak, I want you to just imagine for a minute that her prayer was almost her action, wasn't it? She didn't say the words, "Jesus, please heal me." She did the thing. Does that make sense? Yeah? I love the parallel with the prayer and the healing. I love that cloak is potentially a symbol of prayer and that people touching it were healed. Making a move, doing something physical towards what God wants for you. During my time when I was off having a rest, I had some time where, again, probably because I was spending a bit too much time in bed, my usual routine had gone out the window, which is why I shared it today. And I spoke to my spiritual director while I was away. And I said, you know, what is that? Why is it when I'm not very well that kind of stuff just seems to vanish off? And I discovered that it was something about I didn't feel that I had something to say. Because I wasn't feeling great. I thought, I've not really got anything to say to him. Which is a ridiculous thing to say, because he doesn't want what we say, he doesn't want what we do, he doesn't want all of our achievements and our everything else. I mean, of course he wants to have a natter with us and everything, but he just wants to be with us. He just wants to be in that exact place with us. Just wants us to come away and spend a bit of time with him. In silence, if you're in the mood where you've got absolutely nothing to say. Or maybe something so sad that you have nothing to say. Or something so painful that there's no words. So everybody's been given a post-it. And I would like to encourage you to think of something that maybe you don't pray about much. That maybe you don't talk to God much about. Or maybe something there may be something you gave up on praying about. Or there may be a person that you've just decided you're not really praying for them. Maybe you're not praying for them anymore, or maybe you've noticed there's somebody who you just never really pray for and you've wondered why. Maybe that's come to mind. I want you to write it on the post-it. You're not giving us the post-it. You're keeping your post-it, so don't panic. You're keeping your post-it notes. But I want you to write that thing or that name or that subject that you don't often pray about. Or maybe it just hasn't occurred to you. As you're thinking now, there might be a person actually that you thought, yeah, why don't I pray for them? Or maybe there's something that you think God can't deal with for you. We do think those things sometimes, don't we? So if that's the case, write it on your post-it note. Everybody has things they don't pray about. Certainly. You'd be praying all day long, all night long, if you prayed about everything, wouldn't you? Now, this is completely, totally and utterly up to you, of course, but it would be lovely if you decided that over the next couple of weeks, you're going to sit with God and that thing, whatever that thing is, and you're going to watch and see what happens. Yeah? Who knows? It might be that the thing gets sorted out. Remember, we need his guidance, we need his healing, we need his love, we need his help, don't we? We do all the time. So it might be that the thing gets fixed. It might be that our problem with it gets fixed. Yeah, we might feel happier about the situation. We might feel more peaceful about the situation. If during this chat you've realised that you do too much and maybe you're bringing rest before God, please know that your health and well-being are far more important than all the things you do. You yourself are more important than all the things that you do. The world won't end if you have a breather. I took my rest at very short notice. I found out I had a doctor's appointment phone call and she signed me off for 4 weeks, and that was rather unexpected. So that afternoon I had to cancel a month's worth of work. The world hasn't ended. I'm still here. The groups I was running and things like that all had to stop, and I'd only just started them, so I was freaking out a little bit. It's all still fine. Everything's fine. The most important thing is you. The most important thing is that you go and sit with him, with whatever's going on. So I hope that you look at that thing that you wrote on your post-it and spend some time with that and with God in the coming weeks. Thank you.
If you're able to, may I please invite you to stand as we affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. May we please sit or kneel for prayers.